Morbid Taste for Bones by Ellis Peters. Freely adapted for radio by Alec Rowe. With Ray Smith as Brother Cadwile. Stephen Pacey as Brother John. Lally Cockrell as Seanad. Glyn Owen as Bennett. And Gordon Reed as Prior Robert.
What?
Dreaming again.
At my age, it's allowed, boy. Even the rule of St. Benedict can't prohibit that. Where's the panic?
You've thinned the chaos.
You're a good lad, Brother John. What about his lordship?
Scraping soil from his sandals and letting down his habit to decently cover his bum. Vesper bell's ringing.
What makes old dreams shake me?
At least you've got some memories worth the shaking. God knows why I came here.
A pious notion. Give me your hand. It's spring, boy. You're unsettled. But you lay a good rope, Pasley.
Brothers?
Brother Columbanus.
We shall be late, brothers. And you're reading today, John.
I enjoy reading in church. It's one way of escaping, if only through words.
You should read for the glory of God, brother.
That blessed thought is ever in my mind, brother.
That's two pious thoughts in 2 minutes, Columbanus. Don't chide the lad.
I shall go ahead.
Oh, the holier than thou, Columbanus.
Charity. The third-rate abbey in Sleepy Shrewsbury must be a quiet place for the second son of a trusting Norman lord. Come. As he said, we shall be late else.
I'll try to stay awake for your reading.
Dreams get it wrong anyway. It wasn't like that.
What?
The fall of Antioch.
What brought you to the order, Cadwile?
Oh, a life of crusading leaves you empty. What else should I do but look to my soul and guard it?
Now who's being pious?
And days with sun and sleep. Go on ahead.
Good evening, Father Prior.
You were at least in good time, Columbanus.
Is sloth not a sin, Father?
Father Prior.
Father Abbot.
Well, brother, let me see.
Columbanus, Father.
Oh, yes, indeed. Good evening.
Father Abbot grows old, I fear.
So do we all. Pray heaven we keep our wits. Go to your place, my brother.
Amen to that.
Amen indeed.
Good evening, Brother Richard.
Columbanus.
One day, please God, the Abbey of St. Peter and St. Paul will come into its own again, and a certain, shall we say, revitalization will take place.
I am your sub-prior, Father Robert. On this, as all matters, you have my mind and support. I see even Brother Cadwile among us.
Then we must all be gathered. Maybe you would tell Father Abbot.
Now, the legacy was left partly to the infirmary, but part also to my cellars, which grow depleted. The Lord Christ himself advocated the taking of a little wine, and I tell you, Father Abbot, little wine there has been. I request, therefore, that 2/3 of the legacy go to Brother Edmund's infirmary, and the rest comes to the cellars.
A little warm wine on a cold day is a good thing.
It is, Father. Also, Brother Cadwile's herb garden excellently supplements the infirmary medicines. My own stocks have no such supplement.
Brother Edmund?
Father, I appreciate...
Wake up! Gently! We're debating the sharing of the gracious Sir Thomas's legacy, and your name's been mentioned. You may have to speak.
Dear God, We've been tearing away at this legacy for fully a week.
In any case, Mr. Norley.
How have I been mentioned?
Matthew says our herbs help stock the infirmary, so his sellers should have at least one third of the loot. Oh,
how long have I slept?
Half an hour.
A suitable diversion. I repeat. I enjoyed your reading, by the way.
So did I.
He can make no wine. I am forced to buy in the marketplace or secure stocks from brother houses.
Brother Cutfile, what do you say?
I am in complete agreement with the last speaker, Father.
Thank you, brother.
Whoever he was, good night.
Father Prior,
yes.
You would be grateful.
Come with me, boy.
Look,
Poor brother Columbanus.
Hold his head down. He'll batter his brains on the floor.
It's strong.
His limbs, some of you, and the cord.
The cord of his girdle, brother.
Between his teeth. These fits come more frequently.
Have you poppy juice in the infirmary?
Some.
John, take more poppy juice to the infirmary. There's two bottles.
I know. Here, Jerome, take his head.
Our poor, poor brother. To be so...
If you'll help him, come take his head.
Gently.
Gently, yes. Handle him gently.
Now we lift. Brothers.
On my word, brothers. Now.
At the risk of an old joke... Father Columbanus' affliction is becoming a
habit. An old joke for an old wine. And a good old wine at that. Matthew, I thought you told us your cellar was a pitiful shadow of its former glory.
Well, this is a wine kept for emergencies.
And very proper, too.
And Columbanus sleeps?
Watched over by our prior's good friend Jerome.
Thus excusing him all other duties. As a guardian angel, I'd not trust Jerome to watch a sundial.
Someone has to watch. Edmund has other duties.
Prior Robert favours Jerome too much.
Well, when you've half a mind on a halo and the other half on a bishop's mitre...
Which Robert certainly has.
Charity boy.
Then a friend of any sort, even Jerome, must be a welcome change. Oh, more wine, Cadvile. In return for your clear, if sleepy, support over the legacy.
Why not?
Columbanus was strong in his affliction. It took six of you.
He's safely bound to his bed now. God willing, he'll put off his affliction before morning. Thank you, Matthew. I am enjoying this.
Excuse me now. I have to take wine to the guest house. I'll be back.
Thoughtful?
I've seen this falling sickness many times over many years.
And?
I've seen hysteria, too. Columbanus now. He's the type.
Should tell Edmund.
Who, me, boy? I'm just the gardener.
Well, there was one good outcome. Prior Robert was to have addressed us on our shortcomings.
What shortcomings? Life runs smooth and spiritual. You're as an angel's egg.
But the Cluniacs of Wenlock, who have discovered, you recall, and recently, the tomb of their founders.
The blessed and melodious, if obscure, St. Milburger.
And now miracles spring at Wenlock, alms boxes jingle. While we, worthy Benedictines as we are... can't boast a relic worth naming.
And how does a lowly assistant gardener know the mind of our prior?
I saw him practicing the admonition we were to have had.
Go on.
It's true. He was in the lower walk near the statue. What a rehearsal. The finger raised.
Admonition.
The smooth and locks shaking.
Agitation.
Sudden doubts and despairs.
Constipation. But I keep your voice down, boy. I'm supposedly here to discuss the politics of Sir Thomas's legacy. And you are not supposedly here at all.
Prior Robert Cadfile is a very ambitious man.
Hysteria, agitation, admonition, ambition. Well, I could cure constipation. Talking of which, it must be near supper time.
Those desirous of peace and harmony and communal life must learn the adjustments of self-discipline. For those who would falsely and faithfully persevere unto death, life in the religious community is far from easy, and he is blessed who, to the very end, hath lived both well and happily. Shouldst thou wish to hold fast to stability and earthmancy ever...
Father Abbot! Father Prior! Brothers!
What is this about?
Brother Jerome! You have been in this community long enough to know
what
to
be... I beg forgiveness... But the occasion is urgent.
What does he say, Father?
Why have you left our afflicted brother? To interrupt holy readings, to disobey...
Father, you do not understand. How can you? I am here under instruction of divine mercy. Columbanus sleeps, though tormented still. At his bedside, I too fell asleep and should be ashamed. Yet I am not, for the sweet dream that came to me was surely not of this world, nor the urgent awakening I felt which has led me here hot foot.
You speak on, brother. We listen.
Father, in my dream, the infirmary walls opened to let in a great light. At the center of that light, there appeared to me a most beautiful young virgin, who told me her name was St. Winifred.
I have that sort of dream, too.
Listen, boy, and learn.
There is a spring, she says, in Wales, at the very spot of her martyrdom. And there, Brother Columbanus should bathe, that his senses be at once restored, uttering blessings on this, our house. She faded, and soon after her light, I awoke, as I say, to such feelings of sweetness, hope, and urgency that I knew I must bear my news no matter what. Thus was my vision.
Jerome, dear brother, you have been fortunate indeed.
Oh, I do not clearly recall a Winifred, saint and martyr, and in Wales. Can you help, Brother Cadfael?
Welsh saints have never been any study of mine, Father. To speak truth, in Wales they spring up like mushrooms in autumn and are soon forgotten.
Piety, brother.
Truth, Father. Brother Rhys should know.
Brother Rhys? Brother!
He's more than a little deaf, Father.
And more than a little old. I think you'll have to shake him, Brother Denis.
I care nothing of legacies.
What did he say?
Brother! Saint Winifred. We would know of Saint Winifred, Brother Rhys.
Does Saint Winifred have a spring to her name, brother?
Winifred?
Saint Winifred. In Wales.
In Wales, yes. Where else should she be?
Where's her spring, Rhys?
Hollywell. How do you think the town got its name? But if it's her bones you're after...
Nobody is talking of the blessed saint's bones, brother. We wish to know her story.
Oh, that. Only child of Terithi, pagan prince, whole household converted by Saint Bueno, and Winifred, the most devoted of the lot, resolved to live a virgin life and hear mass daily. Pagan times. They were pagan times still, did I say?
I long to hear her story. I beg
I was coming to that. Prince Craddock, now, he was a pagan too, they all were. Except Terry. Did I say that? Yes. Craddock, now, he saw the girl and desired her. Came begging water on a hot day when all were at Mass.
Why was the Blessed Winifred not also at Mass, brother?
She was sick and she let him in here. Are you telling this story? Yes. Anyway, in he was. And lustful. And thus he pressed his suit, taking her in his arms. Thus. And thus.
This is all too much for me.
By the look of his color, it might prove too much for poor old Brother Rhys.
Proceed, brother. They grappled thus.
Thus they grappled. But the virgin, putting him off with excuses, fled the house. But hot in his lust, the pagan prince took horse. Did I say they were pagan days still?
Oh, brother, yes.
Within very sight of the church itself, pagan Prince Craddock overtook her, struck off her head, fearing scandal.
He struck off her head to avoid scandal.
He did.
So piteously came she to death and beatitude.
Did I say so? That very instant, from the church, issues the congregation.
Oh, happy!
The blessed Bueno sees all, and draws a terrible curse upon Craddock. And Craddock melts, brothers. Melts, yes, melts, like wax in a fire. Pagan Craddock melted into the grass. On its neck, the virgin's head is placed. Round its throat, the skin grows together. On her feet, the virgin climbs alive. And from that spot, beneath her feet, gushes forth the holy fountain.
Oh, miraculous. I knew it.
Now, my food's cold.
But later, brother, what of a life then?
No, the usual pilgrimage to Rome, the Synod of Saints, became prioress near Landroost. Landroost. Performed miracles, lived long, died and buried.
Where?
Oh, it's many years since I heard her name. Many more since I was thereabouts.
Where, brother?
Gwynthyrin, where the priory stood. They talked of miracles there still. When I was a boy. Now, I'm tired.
You have done well, brother.
And better than you know. Father, the hand of God guides us. Today, a chapter, I experienced a spontaneous need to speak out an admonition of this our community where great things should be accomplished, but come not forth. My poor brother Columbanus' affliction prevented me, but now I perceive a pattern. God, through his martyr, St. Winifred, has spoken to Brother Jerome, and that most holy saint shows clear interest not only in our sick brother, but in this, our abbey.
Oh, yes.
Father Abbot, we must have faith and take the road she has pointed out. Columbanus must tomorrow be borne to Holywell, there to bathe in the fountain. If she continues her interest by miraculously curing him, then our further way is clear. Shall we not then be clearly encouraged to beg humbly the sanction of Mother Church to take up her holy relics and install them here in Shrewsbury, to the great glory and luster of our house?
Perhaps it should be so.
No, I urge it must be
so. And I so urge.
And I, who am the fortunate vessel of this wonder.
It's a put-up, John.
Oh, it's good to be in Wales again.
I shall be glad to part company with this mule of a mule. 4 days is long enough.
Oh, it's the cart with the reliquary slows us down. Great vulgar jewel coffin that it is. We'll be at Gwythyrin very soon. The friar looks well on the monster.
Anybody would look good on a beast like that.
You're sour today. I thought you'd be enjoying your escape from the abbey.
I have you to thank, I know.
We all have our part. Friar Robert must come, and so must his Jerome, who saw the saint. Sub-Friar Richard must come for him.
But why us?
Put it down to spring, boy. Spring sap climbs to knees like mine, even. It makes them itch for travel. I suggested a Welshman would be useful and diplomatic. And I'm acquainted with herbs for Brother Columbanus.
Look at him. A picture of health. How are you, brother?
Thanks to God and St. Winifred, light of heart and sound of body, brother.
Miraculously cured at Holywell. A shock of cold water was just what was needed. Our duck pond would have done as well.
Charity, John. I'd have to be very sure of thy heavenly reward before I volunteered to break the church paving with my forehead, as Columbanus did. Even to provide Friar Robert with his miracle.
And how did I come to be on this venture?
As hewer of wood and drawer of water. I told the abbot you were unsure of vocation. Looking over your shoulders, I put it. He agreed a spell in the world would bring you running back.
You may be wrong.
In any case, I like you. You remind me of me. And we wouldn't want the villagers of Gwythyrin to believe that our companions are the best shoes we could offer now, would we?
How far to go home, brother?
We are already in the valley.
We must compose our entrance. I shall ride first. Richard and Columbanus, bring the cart next and uncover the reliquary. Brother Jerome.
Father.
Bring your mule behind the cart.
Very good.
Brother Cadvile and Brother John shall bring up the rear.
Come on, John.
See how those oxen labor only to please that man. I should like to learn such a craft.
I shall, in July. You're barely there. You'll have time to gaze later. You take good care of your fruit trees, Father Hugh. It is a pleasant orchard you have here.
Brother Cadwyle is our gardener.
It is indeed pleasant.
I'd be glad to have a cutting or two before we leave.
Willingly. I trust you have no objections to eating among the apple trees. When it's so fine and mild, I seldom use my house.
None at all. I see we have other visitors.
A few of my parish, curious to see a new face or two. And you, Cadwyle, you too are a man of Gwynedd like ourselves.
I'm glad once more to be here.
Will your curious parishioners not approach and make themselves known, Father?
They are very shy, but news travels fast.
Here comes food and good fresh water.
You are most generous, Father.
Visitors are a rarity. You must forgive our lonely ways, but you are all very welcome. You have been long in England, I think, brother.
Very long.
Then you are doubly welcome. Eat, drink, be at ease, brother.
But then we must to our business here.
Certainly both prince and bishop have given consent. I see that, but...
We have not been misled. St. Winifred is here.
Within the parish. This church is since her time. She lies in the graveyard of the old church, long disused.
Far from here?
No more than a mile, but...
But? Again a but? Prince and bishop have given their blessing.
Moreover, we have heard from the bishop that the saint in her stay here has been much neglected.
And will wish to be received where greater honor will be paid her.
It may matter little to prince and bishop, but I tell you plainly, Father, the people of Gwyddelin are not going to like the idea at all.
Need they be consulted?
But this affects the whole parish, and nothing can be done without an assembly. No doubt the will of authority will be done, but the case must be put.
When would such an assembly meet?
I have called one for tomorrow.
Very well. We have 2 hours or more before Vespers. I shall withdraw into your church to pray for guidance. Brother Cadwyle had best remain to help Father Hugh in any arrangements, and Brother John shall bestow my horse and the mules as he sees fit.
Father?
The rest will join me in intercession in the church. With your permission, of course, Father Hugh.
Please, Father Prior, as you will.
Come, brothers.
Very good, Father.
Your Prior Robert will do well to get the people on his side.
He's unused to obstacles, Father. They make him nervous.
I hope the stabling's far away, Father. I've been longing to get astride this horse every mile we've ridden.
It's a fine beast. I'll send someone to show you to Bennett Smithy. There's stable in there, distant enough to please you. And a loft above the stable if you won't mind lodging separate from your brothers.
Well, I think you might bear that with patience enough, brother, don't you?
I think I might. Do the mules come too?
It's best. I wish you all might be as easily lodged. The prior and his sub-prior must have my house. Cadwathlon, a good man and well provided, will take the rest.
And yourself?
Oh, I shall be happy enough in the loft above my cows here.
Then with your goodwill and intercession with my prior, I'll share it with you and be very comfortable.
I'll be glad of your company. There, look. Yon two waits to lead you to Bennett, brother.
I'll be away then. I'll see you at Vespers, Cadwyle.
Oh. More and more I wonder how that young man ever came to commit himself to monastic life. Now, you need any help in any arrangements, you? Or may I range and make a new sense of myself?
Go where you will. All shall be glad to meet you.
Bravely done, friend. John was right. but skill. But how did an English voice like that come with its owner into Wales? Oh, I beg your pardon, Simon.
You're one of the monks from Shrewsbury.
I am.
Why do you want to take away St. Winifred when she's been here so long? Is it neighborly? Is it honest?
To be truthful with you, I question the propriety of it myself.
You're Welsh.
Yes, as Welsh as you, whoever you may be.
I didn't mean the sharpness for you.
It arrived all the same.
Seaned, daughter of Richard, the Lord Richard. You'll know him tomorrow at the assembly well enough. He's the one will put a stop to all this nonsense.
I'll hear him with a greater interest for having a daughter who'll speak her mind.
It's inherited. What's your name? And what brings you here to the fields?
Brother Cadwyle's my name. And I came here to watch as fine a piece of ploughing as I've seen in a while. And what brings you?
I was coming to tell the ploughman of the assembly.
Oh, but the assembly's for free-born men of the parish. That's an Englishman up there, if ever I heard one. Oh, I shall be late for vespers.
God go with you, Cadwyle.
And with you. That's a comely young man working up there and good with his team. Welsh or not.
Engelard! Engelard!
Cheese, ale, and drinking companions of good sense. What more can a man ask? You're well lodged, John.
You were afraid he'd be as stuffed with righteousness as the rest.
Oh, he's been well trained, Bennett.
Kai! You're late tonight. Come and meet Cadwyle and John. Cadwyle's a Gwynedd man as much as either of us.
I'd heard there was one among the barbarians had the good sense to be Welsh. And a drinker, too, by the looks.
With many years to make up for, Kai. How are you?
I'm well. And this is your lodger.
John.
You're lucky to be with Bennett. Now, where's that girl now?
Annette! More ale!
All right, I'm coming.
Yeah, she's beautiful, that niece of yours, Bennett.
Oh, this young brother John seems to think so.
What?
Good job the boy's a monk, or he'd be having me worrying.
Oh, I wouldn't let that particular accident deflect your vigilance. There's another with time to make up for.
You hear that, Annette?
Oh, I hear it. Here's your drink.
Oh, thank you, Annette.
Here's to many good evenings.
Our business here will take time, then.
Wait till Richard speaks. You know Richard?
I've heard of him.
Temper soon up and temper soon down. But try and move him once he's of a certain mind, and you'd as likely shift Snowden.
For my part, I want the fair ending. No man left with a just grievance. There's another landowner, Cadwallon. Will he speak again?
He'll say nothing of note.
A peaceful man, Cadwathan. Content in his comforts.
A good neighbour to Richard, mind.
Oh, true enough. His lad, Peredur, was half brought up in Richard's hall, in and out since he could walk.
Has Lord Richard children?
A girl.
And what a girl. Swift and sudden as a squirrel. Another to put hair on young John's chest.
I'd settle for hair on my head at the moment.
An ideal match, then. Peredur and Richard's daughter.
Seanette, ideal match? He's milk and water to her.
But neighbours, friends, landowners.
Oh, she likes the boy well enough.
As a brother, aye.
I'm sure they're friendly enough.
Oh, go on.
There's a ploughman. An outlander.
Saxon.
Oh, we saw him working on the hill.
The length and slenderness of him. And all our men squat ungainly camps.
You watch what you say, my girl.
What brings an Englishman to the ferry?
Hiding out from the bailiffs at home. Earl Ranulph's after him. From Chester.
Oh, for nothing bad, mind. Only dear poaching.
He's a master of the short bow.
Couldn't a Welsh lord marry his daughter to an Englishman?
Oh. Never.
If his conscience forgave him, his kinsman never would.
You've hard customs here.
You're a stranger, John. You couldn't understand.
Engelard's father's got a good manner of his own, mind. In his own way, his blood's as high as Richard's.
And Engelard was man enough to tell him to his face.
He asked Richard for permission to marry his daughter?
True as I'm breathing.
Well, that's courage for him.
And got the answer you'd expect. No malice, but no hope. The boy even answered back, argued, demanded.
He's a proud boy with a hot temper.
Like Richard himself, then, by your account.
You've got it.
And Seanan?
She buys her time. and keeps them from each other's throats.
Oh, you've troubles of your own, then. And we've brought you more. I must go. I'm supposed to be sleeping the sleep of the righteous in a cowpile. I wouldn't want my prior to discover otherwise. I'll see you all tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow night, too, we hope, man.
You get that young friend of mine to church, Noga Martins. That's all I ask. I know my way by the river. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Now, what's a man like that doing in some dusty old English abbey?
That man was at Antioch when the Saracens surrendered. That man served 10 years as a sea captain against the corsairs in enemy seas round the Holy Land.
He'll enjoy the battle tomorrow morning, then. And so will I.
More ale, John.
Would you have me drunk?
Oh, you'd put into bed, Ernest, wouldn't you?
You behave yourself, kind one, Ned, or I'll put you to bed from this jug round your ears.
I drink to Rissiard's tongue.
Ah, the rough edge in particular.
The girl is here, in Gwytherin. She is ours, ours. Not Bishop David's, not Owen at Griffith's. She lived here and never spoke of wanting to leave. Am I to believe easily that she suddenly wants to leave us now, after so long? You say she's told you.
She has made it clear, Lord Richard. I have said this.
But not to us. Never a word. Is that courtesy?
Dare you tell me you have visited her, committed to her your prayers, given her due honor?
You are English. She was Welsh. If we have needs, she knows them without our knocking knees on the ground above her.
You have neglected her holy grave.
If she grudged a few brambles and weeds, she would have found means to tell us. Us, not some distant Benedictine house in England.
I confess to enjoying this hugely. Our prior has at last met his match. How's your head this morning?
Ringing.
Brothers, please. Sorry, Joe.
Do you deny the truth of the omens and miracles that have led us here?
The truth is you believe them. But devils deliver portents as well as angels. You have been deceived.
But you neglect her.
She leans to us in spirit that we feel. We, her guardians and kin. The bones you come hunting are not ours, they are hers. And until she tells us she wants them moved, then here they stay.
Barbarians.
Pray, brothers, pray.
Lord Richard, it is better to speak man to man, avoiding the defamation of anger. I beg you, come apart with me to debate in quietude. And having fairly had my say with you, I will no longer challenge what you impart to your people. You have spoken well, Lord Richard. I commend your faith and the high value you put upon your saint, a value no higher than our own. We come solely to serve her, and we believe at her own request. Church and state are with us, and you know better than I the duty a nobleman of Wales owes to each.
That's fairly put. I doubt not your sincerity.
And I am glad to hear you say so. Now, I know that with St. Winifred's departure, your people's loss will be great, and I would not willingly leave Gwytherin with a sense of grievance.
I do not well conceive your point.
My point is that I would wish to make due reparation.
A reparation to Gwytherin?
And to you, if you withdraw your opposition.
A word with your...
Your opposition, I say, for then surely all will follow suit and sensibly accept what prince and bishop have decreed.
Father,
these are delicate negotiations, and you are both here to observe only. I need no advice. Lord Richard?
What is this you throw before me?
Yours, if you persuade your people to give up the saint.
You offer me money?
To be used, of course, as benefits your people best. It is a great sum.
Money? You dare offer to buy our saint? To buy me?
No. You mistake me. One cannot, of course, buy what is holy. I am offering simply a gift to Gwytherin, a gift in gratitude for their sacrifice.
My God, I was in two minds about you and my duty, but I tell you now, Prior, I see clearly where it lies. You have your omens. Now I have mine. A bribe.
You mistake me.
You said it was mine, a bribe, I say.
No, a gift.
Out of my way.
I beg you, wait.
Let free my slave.
Do nothing in haste.
You need not fear. I should be ashamed to tell my people a prior of Shrewsbury tried to corrupt me with a bribe. Now let me go.
What will he say?
You have gravely mistaken him, father.
Best hear what he tells Gwytherin. There may be an answer you can give. Come.
No. Tomorrow something may be done, but not now.
No, I shall speak first. Immediately.
I do not advise it, Prior Robert.
I shall say what I must.
What happened in there? They're each as hot as fighting cocks.
Our prior sailed too near the wind, wrecked on the rocks of his own pure arrogance.
Not quite sunk. Listen.
Good people, you have heard of omens and miracles. Beyond doubt, St. Winifred desires to remove to the sanctity of our abbey. I will say no more now than this. Terrible will be her wrath against those who dare resist her will.
I have listened to this man from Shrewsbury. I now pledge my opposition to the death against any attempt to move the bones of our saint, and urge upon every one of you that same duty. This conference is ended.
I shall go to Richard tonight and ask him to dine here at noon tomorrow. If we can come to terms, another assembly can be called. All must know there is peace.
As you wish. Far be it from me to pass over any means of saving a soul from perdition. I wish the man no ill.
No wondrous clemency.
Saintly clemency towards such an ill-doer.
Let us hope he will come.
He will.
Where then is Richard? It's an hour after noon.
Oh, where are Jerome and Columbanus?
Sent by Robert to pray for success at the old church. Oh,
this discourtesy is not like the man.
Does he come, Father?
I have watched a full quarter of an hour.
Oh, shall I bring you wine, Father? You're soaked through.
Just one heavy shower as I watched. No wine.
Yes, I find no puzzle here. He heard my warning. He fears to face me.
I have never seen fear in Richard's face, nor ever known him break his word. He told me he would come.
We will eat soon, but frugally. Delay may happen to any man. We shall wait until vespers. If he come not by then, he has turned tail. His opposition will carry no weight. We shall wait the 5 hours until vespers. Child, we are at...
Have you hidden him away under lock and key?
Shona, daughter, you must not say such things.
Why not? He was all that stood in your way.
We all heard you threaten him.
Who is this rash young man?
Peredur, Cadwallon's son. Father, he and Shona intend no impiety. You see how they are alarmed? Your father is not here, child.
Do you tell me the Lord Richard set out for the meeting?
Did he not say he would?
At what hour did he set out, Seanad?
A full hour before noon.
We tell you truly that we waited, but he never came.
It is the truth, child.
Then where can he be?
Misunderstanding, Seanad. A lame horse, maybe. If we ride back, we'll find him safe at home.
He was on foot.
This must be resolved, even at the expense of Vespers. We shall send out searchers along the way. He may have had a fall. Will you and your brothers join us, Father?
We shall indeed, in the hope to find him safe.
He set out with Engelard, going first to the fields in the clearing. They were to part there. He to come to you, and Engelard to go to the byres over the hill.
If he is to be found, child, we shall find him. Father, you have two brothers in the old church.
Should they not help our searching?
Oh, I had forgotten. Yes, they must come at once.
Yanto, run to the old church and fetch the brothers there.
About here. He would have come from the clearing.
Mm. The path is overgrown and difficult.
Oh, but that's the one he would have used. It is the shortest way on foot.
Over here. Huh?
What is it, brother?
Cadwal.
Oh, I'm coming.
Have you found him?
Yes. He is here. Jeanette, come quietly, child. Be strong. Come with her, Bredir.
We shall all come.
Dear God.
Father.
I'm sorry, Jeanette. The Lord Richard is dead.
Bredir. Hold me.
No, no, please do not ask me.
Don't be afraid, no. Seanad. I have you.
Oh. It is a great shock.
On his back. With an arrow under his ribs. Who would have done this?
But touch nothing, Seanad. Not yet. Your father has things to tell us.
It must be done properly. Someone must go to the hall and tell Ernesto. This thing. She must make his house ready to receive him.
I'll go.
No, Peridu. I need you here.
Peridu loved your father as much as you, child. Let his grief be unseen if he wills it so.
Is it true then? What Yandel said?
God in heaven. Who could do this?
Bennett.
The easy girl. Oh, I wish I had the words.
Look at the arrow. The tip blue.
You know this arrow?
I know the mark it bears. It's Engelard.
Engelard would cut off his hand rather than loose a shaft against my father.
He's the best with a short bow there is, Seanad. And we all know he's quarreled with your father over certain matters.
Over me? Say what you mean. But Engelard is the most trustworthy of all my father's servants. I took you as his friend.
What is this matter of one Engelard? I say this to all who hear. Behold the saint's vengeance. Did I not warn of her wrath? Look well, all you of Gwytherin. See the fulfillment of my prophecy.
A gentle saint to take such vengeance on a good man? You are looking at murder, Father Prior. A man's hand fitted this arrow, and let it fly for a man's reason.
You knew he would pass this way. Until you came to steal the saint's bones, my father lived safely.
Child, what are you saying?
Engelard's disagreement with my father was well known and constant. It was understood. Yours was new and urgent.
Go no further, child, in grief or not. I will not be accused.
I and many others can vouch for Father Prior's actions all this day, Seanad.
He would not do it himself. He has not that courage. But a man who will try to bribe once may easily bribe another to perform murder.
What? In accusing me, you put your soul in peril. No further, I say!
God, no.
Look here, boy.
Christ's aid. Seanad?
Yes, thank God. He is dead.
Who's done this? I demand to know.
Look down at the arrow, Engelard.
It is mine. He owns it. God's teeth, man, are you such a fool? What murderer would leave his own mark flaunting in the wound?
Who has seen you today, Engelard?
Who should see me? I walked to the clearing with my Lord Richard, then left him to visit the Carbis at Bryn. It's a lonely place.
We must keep this man safely until the authorities be informed.
That's fair.
Fair? What fairness for an outlander here?
Do your duty, all of you. Lay hold on this man.
Then catch me first.
Prevent him! You must abide, Engelard.
Richard, you are here. Prevent him!
I'll prevent someone.
Good brother John, after him. Take the man.
Oh. Your brother John seems to have tripped your brother Richard, father.
Oh, brother John, I love you as dearly as you pay for that.
Brother John, here! You are summoned! That was no murderer.
Gross offense. You offense, brother.
Father Prior.
Unfaithful and unworthy brother, what have you done? Traitor to church and law. You have connived at a felon's escape.
I've talked often to Engelard. He has no part in his death. And he won't go far till he knows who had.
God help the murderer then.
Shameless. I consign you to close imprisonment until we can deliver you to the prince's bailiff. Where is a safe prison?
We have no prisons here.
Father, if I might suggest it, a prisoner would be safe enough at Lord Richard's holding, if Seanad is willing.
He will be secure, certainly. Seanad?
Seanad.
As you will.
Well, he must be taken there securely.
Well, we'll take him, me and Kai.
That seems to be a suitable arrangement. I shall accompany Lord Richard home.
Thank you, Hugh. My father also liked Brother Cadwyl, and it would please me to have his company.
As you will. Brother, are you recovered?
Well enough, Father.
One of my brothers at least has borne himself dutifully. Come, we shall to the church and meet Jerome and Columbanus. I grieve at your father's death, child.
Did my father tell you those things he had to tell?
Some, not all. Here come your servants to bear him home.
I'm glad you're here.
When Hugh and I have left your house, sing to him, drink to him, and never doubt what he'll be there to see.
Brothers, this chapter meeting will be brief. I have to say simply that it is vital we press more resolutely than ever towards the aim that led us here. Yesterday's unfortunate happening must not cloud the issue as it may do. Alas, we must admit that we have so far been less than successful in carrying the people with us. And we must therefore, brother, Columbanus.
Is it the sickness, Columbanus?
Father, mea culpa. I am to blame. Here, I kneel before you. It is I, no one else, who am the cause of our distress.
Speak out, brother. How can this be?
Oh, Father, you sent Brother Jerome and my worthless self to pray in the old church for success, but, Father, my flesh was weak. To my endless shame, I had not been on my knees half an hour before I fell asleep. I did not wake until Jerome shook my shoulder and told me you had sent a messenger. Thus our cause was weakened. Mea culpa, Father. And look not askance at Brother Jerome. Surely he never knew I was sleeping.
Brother, you are always your own sternest critic, and you need not fear.
Father,
we are in chapter, Father.
The news is important. I have come from a council of Cadwallon and other men of substance in the parish. Every man heard to prophesy vengeance at the assembly.
Oh, God forbid I should threaten death on any man. I said...
Whatever you said or intended, the council think it not right or wise to put any other of Gwytherin in peril and withdraw opposition to your plans. The relics of St. Winifred are yours to take away.
God be praised.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, God be praised.
So be it. We are not at all happy at losing the saint, but none shall hinder you.
Then, this is the ending for which we have prayed. I decree 3 nights of vigil and prayer before the altar of the old church, before we break the ground. If you will join us, Father, we shall be 6, and 2 by 2 we shall watch and pray night long. Now we shall offer thanks.
I shall lead you to her grave when you will.
No. I feel her spirit very close to me. We shall process to the graveyard after Mass, and St. Winifred herself shall call me to the very spot.
And so she did. What turned out to be the very spot, not a pace out. We processed, haunted. He went forward as in a trance. St. Winifred lies here, he said. Believe me, you young reprobate, that little miracle was a masterstroke.
Jerome and Columbanus, his two closest confidants, had been there even if he hadn't. Young Ianto would have shown them the grave if asked.
They're skeptical. The villagers were impressed, I tell you.
Yes, quivering with emotion and ready for wonders of any sort.
Oh, you've got to credit him. Prior Robert has style with his guile. If guile it was, of course.
What's this three-day vigil?
Three-night vigil. Only a minor master stroke this time. You remember how Seanad, in her grief, accused Robert?
She was shocked, as you said.
But what better way to refute her? No, scuttling away with the prize of bones as soon as possible as a guilty man might. Mm. No, you have to give him credit.
You've not come to break John out of jail, then?
Oh, I doubt he'd thank me, Kai. With you as jailer and Annest for company. Has the bailiff been sent for?
Sent for, yes. But they say the prince is far away.
You'll take a drink with us?
Not now, no. I'm bound for Seanad within. We have business. Your father looks at peace.
I have his clothes for you. He did not fold them. I see you already know where to feel for the dam.
Yes. First, then, the place where it happened. Narrow, thicketed, not 50 clear paces view anywhere. Not a bowman's ground. No. I do not like this arrow. I do not see the purpose.
The purpose was to kill
him. That I question. You remember the steep upward angle of the shaft? How would an archer fire a shot like that? Too much blood at the front. An arrow like this makes a clean wound.
I do not well understand.
Then these clothes. Still damp at the back from yesterday.
He lay on his back. It had been raining. The grass would be wet.
Oh, I felt the ground beneath him. It was dry.
He had been moved.
There's the puzzle. Yes, heaved over on his back after the shot, and some time after. I'll explain soon. Seanad, may I, with reverence, look at his body?
I'll help you. We are not afraid his wounds will bleed at our touch, at least.
Do they believe that here? That a murdered man's wounds will gape open at the murderer's touch?
Do not your people?
Yes, I dare say my fellow clusterers believe it. Now, we must turn him. I need to see the wound at his back. You would have trouble pulling out the shaft. You have to withdraw it frontally.
We have no choice. The arrow tip barely broke the skin behind.
Yes, so I see. Shall we turn him back and leave him in peace then? You have done well, Seanad.
Tell me what you know.
It will be distasteful. The small wound on his back is no exit wound. That is where the instrument entered.
No, it is too small, surely.
For an arrow, yes, but an arrow did not kill him. A dagger did that.
What?
Yes, a dagger, very thin and sharp. The arrow, forgive me, was driven in from the front when he was already dead. To hide that, he had been stabbed in the back. I always knew no archer could kneel that low.
What sort of man could drive an arrow so deep into a dead man?
A strong one. With a good eye and a sensitive hand, he got the line of the wound exactly.
Who is he? Who? He knows my father's movements, knows where to lay hands on Engelard's shafts, wishes to have Engelard blamed. Who?
I do not know, Seanad. Say nothing of this. Until we know the guilty, we do not know the innocent. Your father fell dead on his face and lay there while that one shower soaked his back. Then he was heaved over. A puzzle.
What more can we do?
Tonight and two nights more, we keep a vigil at the church. Meet us there with your father's body when we come to deposit our two watches.
Father Prior, I have a prayer for you for the sake of my father, who you see borne here to the church door.
Make your prayer, daughter.
I have heard you intend to keep watch 3 nights before you take up the saint.
Mm-hmm.
I beg that my father be allowed to lie before the altar those 3 nights, and that one prayer for forgiveness be made for his soul, if he has offended against her.
A fair asking from a loyal daughter. It shall be so.
Thank you, Father. I shall come each morning to thank those who have watched over him.
Tonight, I watch with Brother Jerome, Sonnet. Lord Richard shall have more prayer than you ask. I promise it.
You of his household, bear your lord's body to the altar. Lay it with reverence beside the reliquary that awaits the blessed saint's bones.
I thank you again. I, his household and friends, will gather here tomorrow morning.
So I'm glad to see your mood more humble, child. Come, brothers, into the chapel.
Blessings, daughter.
Good morning, Sonnet. We have prayed for him.
And doubt not our prayers have been answered.
Thank you.
You come early. Look, Father Prior and the rest follow.
Indeed we are come. Good morning, daughter.
We have had quiet watch, Father, and almost calm.
One more thing. Father Hugh, Brother Jerome, you have prayed for him. Now I ask you to lay your hand, each of you, upon my father's heart, in token of forgiveness.
Gladly, if you wish it. I pray for this man that his sins shall be easily outweighed by his goodness. For the Lord Christ's sake, amen.
Brother?
If Father Prior thinks it justified or necessary. Brother, you may. In nomine Patris Filii Spiritus Sanctus.
We thank you all. We shall return tomorrow morning.
Here, man, get this inside you. We missed you last night.
I missed the company on the hill. Thank you for this.
I and John came over.
There was thinking to be done. I strolled the river banks.
I was not there this morning with Charlotte. I gather your prior missed his vigil and excused himself the test.
He and Cadwallon rode to Cumdie. There was a messenger there leaving for the bailiff while he's at Bangor. Brother Richard laid his hand on Richard. He is easily enough.
Lucky for the prior, though.
No, he is no murderer. A stiff-necked, yes, but not one who'd kill. Tonight I watch with Columbanus.
So we'll miss you again tonight? Pity. We're getting used to you. You should stay. There'd be a place.
Oh, I've got my place, Bennett. I chose the cowl with both eyes open.
You're John now. He's got a good arm to him. And he knows how to do as he's bid. That's half the craft of a smith. If he hadn't maybe let Vissyard's killer loose on the world, there's not an outlander who'd be more welcome here. Do, I must get on. There's iron to be worked.
Does Arnes share your views about Brother John?
She's happy enough.
I wonder who she was.
She?
The one who drove you to take the cowl. If Seanhead and me guess right...
I might have married her. Her no did me that much of a favor. Her name was Marjorie. I thought her beautiful.
I hate her. For the bad turn she did to you. And me.
Ernest. I've never felt less like a monk. But I must say this. I shall miss far more than your baking when I leave Gwytherin. Either with bailiff or prior.
Oh, hush now, my John.
Ernest. I think I love you.
We are greatly privileged in our quest hither, brother. Our names will be recorded in our abbey's history.
I have heard Friar Robert is proposing to write a life of St. Winifred, from womb to tomb to Shrewsbury.
Yes, brothers yet to come will envy us.
Your name may well be recorded as the afflicted brother miraculously cured at Holywell, and Jerome's who had the dream that sent you there. Mine, somehow I feel, will remain a silence. And so much the better. Shall we go in?
Oh, gladly, gladly. Let us to our vigil. Oh, holy and blessed Winifred, saint and martyr, oh, holy and blessed Winifred, saint and martyr. Oh, holy and blessed Winifred, saint, martyr, and most perfect protectress. Thou who comest in visions of sweetest odours, who comest always to those who worthily cry in a shower of petals. I am here, blessed saint.
Brother?
At thy side. Call and I shall answer. I am here, thy fortunate servant, I, Columbanus. Columbanus, who thou visitest, and holy well, making good the evils of my weak, sinful flesh. Thou art here, I feel thy spirit call, and I shall answer. Speak, blessed saint, to me, Columbanus, thy most willing vessel. Call, and I shall answer. Call, most blessed saint. O Winifred, holy martyr, if with therein, that holy well, yes, Winifred, saint, martyr, so be it, so be it. Oh,
and now what am I supposed to do? No convulsions? His heart's beating well enough. Well, why interfere with a man's pleasures if they're doing him no harm, peculiar though they be? I'll get you an altar cloth for a blanket, brother. That should please you, wherever you think you are.
Brother! Columbanus?
What should this mean?
He's not dead.
What has befallen him, Cadfael?
Not dead, nor in any danger. Simply at midnight or thereabouts he stood, spread out his arms, and fell into this trance.
Why did you not call us to his aid?
I had a duty to keep watch, and so did he. We have kept that duty in our separate ways.
There is something in that.
He seems at peace, and his color is good. It's most strange. I say he has been the instrument of grace, and maybe again. Who knows what prodigies this night might have brought?
He is entranced. I am sorry for him, and sorry, too, that I cannot thank him for his watch with my father.
I, at least, am in my right senses, and can do what you have not asked of me, Jeanette. Forgive this good man his faults, I pray, and bring him to bliss.
Brothers! Make slings of your girdles and bring Columbanus to Father Hugh's parsonage in the altar cloth.
I am shaken by these events, Father, and so must Brother Cadfael be. May he come to my home, as it is the closer. He is older than the rest and has had a long night of worry. I can give him food and rest.
I grant it. But see, you are present at Mass, brother.
Thank you, Father. True, I feel a shade more frail and decrepit than usual. Thank you, Jeanette.
Come, we'll walk together. What more can we do? Today must be his burial.
I know it.
Your prayer has not touched my father's breast.
His reason was good, and his amazement and concern seem true, not false.
I want justice for the father I loved.
Gently, girl. I imagine you have seen Engelhard. Is all well with him?
You see too clearly. Yes, he is well. He is never far away.
It's good to have a guard you can trust. I think you'd have got your way about that young man with your father in the long run.
Cadfael, what can we do? In a day, two at most, you'll be gone. Who'll help me find a murderer then?
We have a few chances yet. Come to Mass, of course. And make sure Peredur comes with his father when yours is buried. He'll not refuse if you ask.
You suspect Peredur?
Jeanette, I'm in more minds than one, and none of them very clear concerning him. And who knows what we may learn when our half-fledged saint regains his senses?
I am the messenger of goodness. I am the instrument of reconciliation.
Speak, brother.
Father, brothers, I have known such bliss.
Brother, we would share your joy.
Brother, speak out. At the hour of midnight, a sweet voice called my name. I rose to answer. In spirit, what happened to my body, I know not.
Oh, wonder.
Light, golden light was about me. And in a shower of white petals, there appeared a most beautiful virgin.
The blessed Saint Winifred.
Laying her hand on Lord Richard's breast. She said, where my bones shall be raised from the earth, an open grave is provided. There let Richard be buried, that his rest be assured, and my power made manifest.
Oh, fortunate brother.
A most miraculous vision. Reconciliation, forgiveness,
a will made known. A day of glory, brothers. Now let the mass be sung.
What could I do but thank him?
Indeed.
Forgiveness? For what? Reconciliation? To placate me and bury the deed along with the victim? It outrages me.
A very diplomatic message for a day of glory.
Most of which glory seems to be of late falling too much around Columbanus. An ambitious man can make a good career in the church, and maybe he's laying the foundations, and we are no further forward.
Peredur will be there this afternoon.
I have sent Ernest to beg him.
That silver cross you wear around your neck, will you part with it?
What have you found, Cadwal?
She is here.
Blessed be her name.
Amen. Let me down her linen sheet and bands to raise it smoothly. She shall not come out bone by bone, but a whole woman, as she went in.
Bring the reliquary. Our quest is at an end.
Ground is ready,
Father Hugh.
Then now we bury our Lord Richard honorably with full absolution. Bring him here.
One last gift I give, my silver cross.
Let it lay on his breast, child.
You have been like a son to him, Peredur. Will you lay it on his breast as a farewell from us both? Peredur?
Come, son. We know you share this loss as we all do.
Peredur, lay this cross on his breast.
Young man?
No. He cannot accuse me. I swear what I did was done when he was already dead.
Dear God, what are you saying?
I did not kill Richard. I found him dead.
Speak clearly, Peredur, for all our sakes. Speak clearly and truly.
Sioned, I found him on his face. He had been stabbed in the back. I tried to bring him round, but his breath had gone. The dagger had pierced him through, and then to my shame I was tempted, knowing I could hurt him no further.
How tempted, son?
Oh, God, forgive me. I saw a means of ridding myself of a favored rival.
You were his friend. You were friend to both.
Yes. I knew your wishes would prevail at length and that you would marry the Saxon. And I knew there would be those willing to believe Engelart would kill Richard.
But you, Peredur, you knew he would not.
I know the man. I know he could not.
But the arrow on the flight.
Engelart and I shot game together. By error, I took one of his shots. Oh, God, I thought he would run back into England and leave us alone, Sioned and me.
You used your own knife to open the wound in his breast.
Blood. Oh, there was so much blood.
And Engelard's arrow followed your blade.
Peredur.
It was for love of you. Love changes men, makes them do terrible things. I thrust the arrow in and have not had one quiet moment since.
You stand in dire sin, Peredur. Such violation cannot go unpunished.
I know it. I knew it the moment I...
I shall speak to the bailiff when he comes. As to you are penanced, that is for me as your confessor to decide. Go home now and wait until I send.
So, Ned, I am not worthy, I know it. But if you still wish me to do what you asked, I will do it.
I do wish it, for your sake as much as mine.
Richard, Lord, you were a father to me, and I ask a son's forgiveness for what I have done to your body. I wish you peace. I shall go home now. I have shamed us all. I am sorry.
Stay, Peredur. See our father laid to rest.
This way.
There is nothing wrong with your mother's lungs, whatever else may be amiss.
It was when she heard of... when I had to tell her.
Yes, it would be.
We tried to calm her, but she goes on. I ran to pull you out of the mask. Brother John told Annette to have away with medicines. This
go away, dear Kate. Away with them, I have. The medicines themselves I have got. Show me the room where Columbanus lives.
This way.
I gave Columbanus a bottle of poppy juice. Should he feel afflicted, it will be in his bag. Well, at least it's quieter. Don't worry, boy. The juice soothes body and mind. Your mother will be well.
This is the room. Oh,
do you know where Columbanus sleeps?
There, in the corner.
Come along, then.
Do you hate me, Brother Cadwal, for what I did?
Hate you? Why, I've seen worse things. We go as far as we dare when we're harried. And for someone we love, we'll go further. Richard's ghost won't be haunting you. Now, give me that bag. Now, that is very odd.
What, Brother Cadwal?
This bottle was full 5 days ago. Now it is three parts empty. Yet, given a vision or two, Columbanus his health has never been sweeter. Well, it will serve. But I need strong wine as well, Peredur.
Well, I'll go on ahead. Can you find your own way down?
Your mother's lungs will be as a beacon. Go on. Very odd.
The horse needed shoeing anyway.
I'd have come to you, but this day is turning out very busy. And my old legs aren't what they were. I've missed Compline and my supper. I'm tired, John Allen, that's the truth.
I heard you shut up Bronwyn. She's always been like a mother hen, shrieking and squawking when her chick's in trouble.
That's right, that's perfect.
It's true.
And somebody has made off with enough of my sleeping draught to stun a bull.
And why?
I have a notion. And when Bennett's found me a scrap of bread and cheese...
I hear you. Be patient. You're not the only one tired. And tomorrow you'll be off. And leaving us a fine tangle to hold.
Somebody's riding hard.
Ernest?
What is it, Ernest? The bailiff's in Gwytherin.
Question, John?
Question him. To take him.
You heard he was always towards Manger?
Well, now he's here and supping with them up from Shrewsbury. Mararid was serving them, and she said that old Prior insisted John goes with him when he leaves tonight. Well, come on. Sit in there, the three of you, and my John bound for prison.
Go on to the house. Get John away. Over to Penish Lan. He'll be safe there.
Find a good story. Say that John attacked Kai and got free.
Get a bandage round Kai's head.
With pig's blood on it. Dear God, I shouldn't be saying this. What sort of man is this bailiff? Keen?
Lukewarm. But the prior insists. Oh, I'll get to the house. I'll ride with you.
Are they missing me at all?
We're locked in debate about who's to sit up all night with St. Winifred and that great gaudy box they put her in. There's no time.
One more thing. Did they decide who?
Yes, that long droopy one who's fitting his head for an elu. The one who thinks he owns the poor old bones.
Columbanus.
That's the one. Shall we go, Seanad?
No. You go with her, Bennett. Seanad, well, we have to talk and be very clear.
Take the horse, Bennett.
And hurry, man.
All right.
Tell John he'll be in my prayers.
He'll be in Banner jail if we don't stir.
You'll both be in my prayers. Do you know where Bennett keeps his cheese?
Who's there, I say?
Columbanus. My false servant who blasphemes against me and murders my champions.
Who? Come out this instant.
Who has quenched the light? I'm not to be...
You think to deceive me? As you deceive your prior and brothers? Why kill my servant, Richard? Is Columbanus afraid? The false prophet who has brought so much fear to my Gwytherin? Confess, murderer. No hope but in confession. Speak. Oh,
I never touched Richard. How could I, Holy Virgin? I was here. In your chapel. I was asleep. I'm ashamed. Yes, but innocent. I slept.
Brother Jerome was the one who slept, Columbanus.
No, no. Holy One, I swear.
He slept, not you. You gave him wine with a sleeping
No,
glass.
No, I swear.
You went out, Columbanus. Out to the forest to wait for Richard. You struck him down.
I am misjudged.
You knew Jerome, weak as you are wicked, would never own to his friend the prior. He had slept. You came back from killing Richard and feigned sleep until he's dead.
I know nothing of sleeping draughts, blessed saint.
Then what is this? Must I tell you? You know well it is the bottle from which you drank Jerome.
I did it all for you. For you and my Abbey. He stood in the way of God's will. He would not let you go.
Is this your confession, Columbanus?
Yes, yes, Holy One, yes. I gave the potion to Jerome. I waited for Richard. I struck him down. I thought...
I? No thought for others?
Oh, sweet saint, damn me. Not for striking down your enemy.
In the back, coward and traitor that you are. See it all.
In the back, yes. Yes, I own it. Oh, merciful saint, do not destroy me. I did it all for you.
You did it for yourself.
No! For you! Only for you. I throw myself at your feet. I clasp your hand. Only forgive. All saints should be all spirit.
I command you.
A saint should not be flesh and blood. Now who is the blasphemer? What flesh and blood dare call ourselves saints? Speak!
Lost me. Columbanus, my servant.
Richard's daughter. And now I see it all. Well, Richard's daughter. The dagger dispatched the father shall dispatch the spawn. Oh. You tricked me to confession, but who heard the confession?
I heard it, Columbanus.
Cadvile?
Heard it all. Do it already. Let her go.
I'll keep back. I shall kill her else.
And me? Will you kill me too? I have the skill to resist, Columbanus, and kill you if necessary. All loyal.
And move from that door, Cadvile.
Let her go and I will move.
Open that door, Cadvile.
It is open. Let me see you free, girl.
She's free!
For God's sake, fool daughter, why did you get within his reach?
Get after him. I'm sound enough. Where is he? Can you see him?
He is here, Shunad.
Engelard?
And he is dead.
Let me see.
I heard you cry out, Shunad.
Engelard.
I'm safe now. It's over.
Clean through the throat. With a crosswind and in the dark. You are as good as they say, friend with a short bow. But do you think it's over? Alive, the truth could be forced from him a second time. But dead, no. Listen, I know the church. If this scandal breaks, all the forces of authority will band together to avert the disaster. And they'll do it. They'll call this an outlaw killing by a desperate man, already a fugitive, trying to escape with his lover. I'll be ordered silent and slipped quietly away to some distant abbey just in case. So give up the idea of truth.
What should we do?
Let me think.
We should leave now for England.
And be chased by bailiffs across the kingdom. Let me think. In the meantime, gather the dagger and clear the church of the broken glass. It must be neat like we've never been there. Is there blood on his habit?
No.
Good. Now see to that bottle, Sonnet. And then gather me a shower of white petals from the bushes. You, boy, help me to strip him. Then leave me. I see a way to please everyone. Even Columbanus. Give me his dagger.
Have care. Cursed thing is sharp.
It will need to be.
Father Hugh, good people, my heart is glad to see you here before the chapel of the little saint to bid her farewell.
Father Prior, a very good morning to you. We are, as you see, all here, the whole of Gwythyrin.
We meant only good, and we intend only to move her relics where they will shine the more brightly and widely. We are glad you are thus now assured.
Father Prior, there's not a man among us grudges you the relics within this chapel, I promise you. They are yours.
Come then. Let us release Brother Columbanus from his lonely vigil and take St. Winifred on the first stage of her journey home. Brother Cadwile, prepare the cart for the reliquary. Come, brothers.
Let me help you, brother.
And me.
You're a sly one.
I'm a very tired old man.
Marvelous, man. Almost miraculous.
Will you say we Welsh are poor at keeping secrets?
This is one we'll keep. The whole with her.
It's too damn good to share with strangers.
Well, go on, brother. Get in that church and be amazed.
I am amazed.
But what can have happened here?
See, his empty habit. Look, shirt and drawers still within, and sandals all in place.
As if he had been lifted from them.
Oh, this is most marvelous. And petals, a shower of white petals all around. We are in the presence of a great wonder. How often has he said, do you remember, brothers, that he wished so hard to be taken up living from this world to dwell in ecstasy with the saint? Take up his clothes.
More holy relics yet.
And now let us take up our main blessed burden. Come, brothers, raise the reliquary. Set it down again. Now take further, Grips.
I need some help, dear man, for God's sake.
Shall we tell him be backward now, pieces restored? Kai, Lenny, and you others? Let us help these brothers load their relics and speed their way.
Reverently, reverently. Now, raise the reliquary.
Who would have thought these slender bones would weigh so heavily?
Praise God for it, brothers.
Praise God.
Cadwile?
Yes, Kai.
When you're up the hill, leaving the valley, look to where you saw the ploughing that first day. We'll be there, a fair gathering of us. Just for you, mind. We'll miss you.
God bless you all, my friends. It's hard to leave.
Gently to the cart.
Well, there they go, creaking over the hilltop.
And here we are. I think we should call our first boy Cadwile.
I hope he turns out like his namesake.
Brother John here can christen him.
Oh, just plain John now. And I like him the better for it.
Look, there's hair growing up in the center of my thatch. Now, I shan't miss much of it. Except for that Cadwile.
Little saint's where she always was. You never know. We might have a small miracle or two. Now she knows how she's valued.
I tell you what, I wager we have a damn sight more than the new shrine at the Abbey of Shrewsbury.
At the shrine of Columbanus.
He's quite nearer sainthood than he deserves.
Does Father Hugh know? That's what puzzles me.
There's merit in silence. Come on then. There's work to be done. I've got to make a smith out of you somehow.
You'd be the best in a Gwyneth.
Not until I'm gone, he won't.
My father would have liked the joke. Oh, well, we seem just as done.
Your father and the saint will be glad of each other's company.
If he's trespassing, it's no fault of his.
And there's many a man who'd be glad to lie with a virgin. That's for sure.
For sure. Look now. You've shocked your future husband.
Do you know?
What?
I don't think she has.
Come on, let's get back. We've seen our Cadwile on his way.
I wonder what he's thinking.
Thank you.
brother. Cadvine! What? You're slipping from your mule, brother. Did you have no sleep last night?
Not what I noticed, father.
That was A Morbid Taste for Bones by Ellis Peters. Freely adapted for radio by Alec Rowe. With Ray Smith as Brother Cadvile. Stephen Pacey as Brother John. Lolly Cockrell as Seanad. Glyn Owen as Bennett. And Gordon Reed as Prior Robert. Sub-Prior Richard was played by Russell Wootton. The Abbot, Godfrey Kenton. Brother Columbanus, Nigel Anthony. Brother Jerome, Anthony Hyde. Brother Edmund, John Church. Brother Matthew and Kai, Richard Darrington. Father Hugh, Derek Pollitt. Ernest, Catherine Hurlbut. Herdier, Sean Probert. Brother Rhys and Lord Richard, Douglas Blackwell. And Engelard, David Bradshaw. The play was directed by Richard Wackley.